Welcome to Q&A with TNK. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Hello, and welcome to Q&A.
With TNK. I was going to say Key and Tay.
With Key and Tay.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Tiffany.
Welcome to our show.
Mm-hmm.
The question.
The question is, what are some ECE books that you recommend?
From Taylor in Tennessee. Hey, oh, Taylor. I wonder if she knows Bethany.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, I like that we assume that everybody knows.
I know.
Everybody must know each other. That's how it works, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so we each put together a little
listy-poo
of some of our
list
faves.
List of five faves.
Yeah.
And I guarantee I forgot a book that
I'm going
to be like, oh, that book
is
bad.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one is actually like one of the first books that I read that had anything to do with playful learning and actually early childhood education, really.
Yeah?
Yeah. I read
it. It was?
Uncurriculum by Jeff Johnson and Danita Dinger.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And what led you to that book?
Lisa Murphy. I went to see her. She was a keynote in Minnesota at an early learning conference.
Uh-huh.
Fell in love. Was totally not playful learning environment at all in my classroom. I was didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, before you knew better.
Yeah. And followed her on Facebook, and she had read the book and recommended it. And so I ordered it right away, and it changed my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Changed the way I did things completely.
And now you know Jeff.
I know. He's a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. What's your numero uno? That was in order. Like, that was my first, my best, most, has caused the most change in my life, probably.
Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm.
that would open the door to everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the first book on my list for me.
What?
Play, The Foundations.
Ah! Yeah.
Oh, I can't say the rest of the title now.
Well, there's two editions. It's Play.
By Lisa Murphy.
Yep. And that's on my, that's second on my list.
Yeah. for me, this wonderful woman, Michelle, who runs several in-home facilities in, facilities sounds so weird, in-home centers.
Yeah.
No, I'm struggling.
In-home programs.
In-home programs. In Portland,
mm-hmm.
one of which is The Nest, which is the baby school.
Which is Savannah's.
We visited and talked about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle reads a ton of books. She's read all the books, I'm convinced.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she recommended Play by Lisa Murphy.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. And then I read it and I was like.
Was that your gateway book?
Game over, man. Yeah.
Gateway book.
Yeah.
The gateway book. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good gateway book.
The newest edition is called Lisa Murphy on Play, The Foundation of Children's Learning.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
In our program, we take the seven things out of the book Play,
mm-hmm.
which are, can we recite them all? Like the seven things, they're the foundations of early learning. So move, create, sing, discuss, observe. Did I say create?
Yeah.
Ew.
I'm not good at memorizing, so I'm not even going to say a single
move,
one.
Move, sing, discuss, create. I don't know. Anyway, there's seven of them. That's five.
Hey.
If you know the other two, put them on our Facebook page.
If you want to know the other two, you got to read that book.
Yeah, there you go. Just keep it a secret.
Uh-huh. We're not saying them on purpose.
Right. Yeah. That was a good book. So read that.
Mm-hmm.
Two good gateways.
Gateway.
That was my second. But my third.
Mm-hmm.
And Nurture Shock. Have you ever heard of Nurture Shock?
No.
Oh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. Poe Bronson and Ashley Merriman are the authors.
Okay.
It tackles like 10 different topics about like kind of almost what we believe just because we believe it as a society, but actually like it's like debunked in this book. Like some of the topics are the inverse power of praise, how insufficient sleep adversely affects kids' capacity to learn, why white parents don't talk about race, why kids lie.
Sounds
why
like an amazing
siblings
book.
Really fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a super book. Need to reread it because it's been probably like 5 years since I read it. I think I read it when it first came out. It's really good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I love revisiting favorite books like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big book rereader, but when it comes to professional development, you get something new out of it every time.
Yeah, you totally do.
If it really is a book that has impacted you that much.
Yeah.
You'll read through it again and find something like
exactly
hits you.
Yeah, that was a really good one. It's a really quick read. It's really
nice. I like that too.
Yeah.
You know my secret to reading professional development books?
No.
I'm gonna share it with you.
Okay.
Leave it in your bathroom.
Oh. Yeah.
Go in, read a little bit while you're dropping a deuce. But then you get just like a
while you're rolling
chunk.
Boulders.
Yeah, while you're rolling those boulders. But, you know, if you read professional development books in, like, 10-minute chunks or 20-minute chunks or 45-minute chunks,
yeah,
you do you. But when you read them in smaller chunks like that, you have more time to process and think about everything.
Hey, that's a great tip.
Cramming those books is my preferred. I mean, like, that's what my, like, natural inclination is, to just sit down and read the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
But when you spread it out, appreciate it more.
Yeah, and when you're a mom with four kids, like, that's just easier to read it in little chunks versus cram. You can't cram when you're
not
a mom with four.
Mm-mm.
What's yours?
My next one is It's Okay Not to Share.
Ah, that's on my list, too!
Uh-huh.
That was a really good one.
Mm-hmm. That book made me think about why I do anything.
Yeah. And it actually, like, shaped my program a lot because I think it came out right as Butterfly Hill was being created.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we follow that book a lot. I mean, big pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You can see evident in our program.
Yeah, same.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we do is based on that book, I think.
Yeah.
That's true for all of these books.
It is. It is.
That book, it's just a good book.
It's Okay Not to Share. Yeah. I got to, have you ever seen her speak in person?
Mm-mm.
I have.
Mm.
I got to.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And she's got a podcast.
Yes, she does.
Renegade Rules, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
You can find links to it on the Upstairs Studio Facebook page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's cool. She has another book, too.
It's Okay to Go Up the Slide.
Mm-hmm. More rules. The format of that book is really appealing to me. Both books.
Yeah, me too.
Format where you like read through the reasoning and then there are immediate phrases that you can use.
Yes.
And examples. It's a really good resource book.
Yeah.
I think professional development books are too often too wordy.
Yeah.
Tell me what you got to tell me, man.
Cut to the
chase. Break it down.
Break it down.
Mm-hmm.
Break it, break it. Llama, llama.
Llama, llama, red pajama.
That one was on my list as well.
Oh,
man. Got a lot of crossover.
Uh-oh.
I bet
weird.
You don't have this next one, though. Free Range Kids by Lenore Skenazy. Is that how you say her last name?
I don't know.
Lenore Skenazy. She was known as the world's worst mom.
Oh,
do you
yeah.
remember? She let yeah. her, I don't know, 8-year-old go on the subway alone in New York City.
Yeah.
And she got like major news coverage from doing that. And then after she did that, she wrote the book Free Range Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about trusting children and letting them take risk.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learn from that.
Yeah.
And it also breaks down a lot of statistics as far as like stranger danger. I mean, that's a reason why people don't let their kids like run around the neighborhood. Stranger danger. But it breaks down in statistical form. Mm. Like there were way less crimes against children now than there were in the 70s when running around the neighborhood was like totally acceptable. Mm-hmm. There's been a decline in crimes against children. So it like puts it into statistical form, like why we should be doing these things and why aren't we? Like, yeah. Why has society turned against letting children kind of be free?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I want to read that book.
It's good.
Yeah.
That's also a really quick read.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
Good bathtub read?
So there's some heavy, you know, some of these are like heavy.
Yeah.
You know? Actually, not all of these are heavy. I think that's why I like them. Yeah, because the heavier, harder for me. Mm-hmm. Heavier are a lot harder.
You have to be in the right headspace.
Yeah.
Does it sound weird as I'm bouncing up and down on this yoga ball and talking into this microphone?
I don't know.
I can't wait to hear what this is going to be like. I switched chairs for my pregnant belly.
She's on a yoga ball.
Yep, and I'm bouncing. And it feels great.
Oh, that's funny.
What's the... I want to read Free Range Kids now that we've had our discussion, which we didn't have on air because why would we have done that?
Right.
Kristen and I were walking through the woods talking about privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of free range kids and playborhoods and how privilege factors into that.
Yeah.
Like when a nice white lady chooses to let her kids ride the subway, there's an uproar.
Yeah.
But the kid who does it every day to make sure he can go to school.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Right.
So I'm very curious to read that book and sort of have that lens.
Yeah. So maybe after you read that book, we'll
have a little reflection sesh.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe I'll reread it.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Do a little read-along. Hey, let's do a read-along.
With our listeners?
Yeah.
Okay.
We haven't done that in a really long time.
No. A book report, you mean?
Yeah, sort of.
Or like having them read the book with us.
Like when we did Free to Learn and we said like, hey, we're going to read these chapters and then talk about it. And we did that with Unschooling Rules too.
Oh, I think we just did a book report.
Oh.
Yeah,
well, let's just do a book report with Free Range Kids.
Okay.
Check in with the Facebook group to see when we're going to post that episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That way, if you want to read the book first, you can.
Totally.
Yeah.
Q&A with T&K. Close Facebook group. Mm-hmm.
Free Range. Okay, my next book. Ooh, which one do I say first? I think I'm going to go for the Janet Lansbury.
Hmm.
They're both very connected to me.
Okay, so tell me the title.
I hid them down here.
Oh, you hid them. I told her I didn't want to see them before she talked about them.
So they are No Bad Kids, Toddler Discipline Without Shame.
Okay.
And Elevating Childcare, A Guide to Respectful Parenting.
Hey, I just bought this one, but I haven't read it. The Elevating Childcare.
They're great.
Yeah.
Also great audiobooks.
Oh.
I did them as audiobooks.
Did you?
They're short.
They're very short.
Which is awesome.
Wow.
I don't even know how I got into Janet Lansbury. Probably through Teacher Tom.
Or through Savannah?
Maybe.
Isn't she the creator of Rye?
No, that's Magda Gerber.
Well, that's Magda Gerber.
And Emmy Pickler? I don't know how that.
Okay.
Don't call me on that.
So, Janet Lansbury, is she like part of the Rye?
Yeah.
Family somehow?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
She's part of the respectful parenting, which is the overarching. You have to be specially trained and certified to be Rye.
Yeah.
But you can be respectful parenting and follow along with all the things without having the official stamp.
Oh, got it. Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it was through Teacher Tom because he and Janet Lansbury do a lot together.
Awesome.
It's baby and toddler focused,
mm-hmm.
but they are tools. They're like concrete tools for interacting with other humans respectfully.
Yeah.
It's really the basis of
very cool
all of her books. So a lot. I first stumbled upon her work when I was struggling with certain behaviors in my classroom.
Yeah.
You know, that point in your teaching career where you're like, how do I deal with these problem children?
Yeah.
And her methodology for dealing with babies and toddlers, dealing with isn't the kind way to say it, but
no.
The way that she interacts with babies and toddlers, yeah, is just how you should interact with humans.
Yeah.
Just using those phrases and treating people with a certain level of respect from the get-go reduced so many of the problem behaviors in my classroom.
Yeah. And,
like, there are things from that book that, like, oh, when I talk to my husband like this instead of like this, it's like we're a team instead of against each other.
Right.
It's not your turn to do the dishes. It's we need to do the dishes. When will we get them done? You know, like stupid stuff. Right. Like that. But it just, it like didn't just change my teaching life, is I guess what I'll say.
Right.
Her blog is incredible.
I've listened to Janet Lansbury podcast.
What's the podcast like?
It's good. Yeah. I've listened to a few episodes.
Nice.
And I liked it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I really came across the whole idea of like respectful parenting, respectful caregiving with we did a podcast with Robin. What's her, Robin's last name?
Einzig.
Einzig. I don't know. It was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really intriguing for me. We'll repost that on our Q&A with TNK. Close Facebook group, because that is when I even like figured out that there was a thing like such as respectful parenting, and I totally don't do that. And so I've been trying to find ways to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
But Robin doesn't have a podcast, and I really wish that she did.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I would gain a lot from her.
Mm-hmm.
So I came across Janet Lansbury as the next best thing, hoping I can gain some insight. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think you can just Google or go into your like iTunes or whatever, Google Janet Lansbury and it'll come up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She links to it on our website too. So those were my next books.
Is that it? Is that the five?
No, that's not my five. We had a lot of crossover.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of crossover. So what else do you have?
Oh, also hiding in this drawer, I have Fearless Teaching by Stuart Grauer. This book I found through like a mini book club that I did with a couple teachers at work.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the gals, her husband, went to the Grauer School, where Stuart Grauer founded the school and is the principal, director. Yeah. The man leading the ship. So it's a book of collected stories about traveling the world and learning about humanity with high schoolers. And there's a fair amount of philosophy, not like pedagogical philosophy.
Okay.
But more like, what does it mean to learn? What does it mean to be a human? How do humans interact with each other when they don't have any language in common? And just thoughts about what it means to teach.
Yeah.
That book taught me how to read a nonfiction book as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Like, I hit that book at just the right time.
So what's your tips for reading a nonfiction book?
Well, I write a lot in them now, or like have a piece of paper to write that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about the critical points throughout the whole story.
Okay.
Not story, throughout the whole work. Yeah.
Okay.
Thinking about the intended audience and specific notes about the author and like questions as I go along. I try to figure out at the beginning, like, what's the essential question of the book.
Okay.
And then take notes on that as I go.
Got it.
And just writing questions in the book as I go along. the so then the next important part is talking about it afterwards for me. So then we got together and talked about the book, and as you go through, there are all these questions on the sides that tie into what is the main point of this book, and what did I like, what did I not like, what did I agree with, what did I not agree with.
Very cool.
Yeah. I like this book a lot. Got to meet Stuart Grauer at a conference this year. Oh, you did? Also,
the Aero conference?
Yeah. I tried to not be a weirdo the whole time, but I was just like, hey, I really like your book.
That's awesome.
And he's really cool.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And like crazy adrenaline junkie.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Ready?
Oh, no. I still have another book.
Oh, you have another book?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my.
My last book is John Dewey, School and Society and the Child and Curriculum, which is technically two long speeches published as one book.
Okay, say the title again.
The School and Society.
Okay.
And The Child and the Curriculum.
Oh.
It's short.
Yeah.
Dense.
Yeah.
That's the densest one on my list for sure.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you have to reread sections of those a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do too. Yeah. Stuff like that. And I have to be in the right frame of mind to be able to process it. Can't have other things on my mind.
No. Or other things going on around you.
No. Yeah.
Or like be in a coffee shop.
Right.
I can't even do that.
Yeah.
I pretty much have to be sitting at the end of that kitchen table out there.
Right.
Doing that.
Mm-hmm.
For like 20 minutes max.
Right. Or on the toilet.
Or on the toilet. Harder to take notes on the toilet. But yeah. That one is on my list because it made me critically think about what it means to learn.
Okay.
And how people learn and how we expect people to learn and the whole system of school.
See, that to me was Free to Learn by Peter Gray. Like, yeah. I got those things from that. So it'd be interesting to read these articles.
Was Free to Learn not on your list?
No, it was not on my list. Was it early learning? But Free to Learn is definitely, that was a gateway book for the creation of an elementary school for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Free to Learn. I loved it. That was a life changer for me, actually. And I get to meet Peter Gray at Pep Rally. I'm stoked.
He's really nice.
Yeah.
You should ask him if he went to Powell's like that weirdo told him to at the last conference he went to in Oregon.
Was that you?
Yeah. Hey, pro tip. If you go to a conference, just like hang around and talk to the person that
is
the keynote.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be like, oh, I read your thing. I did all this stuff. If you like what they said, just hang out afterwards and then say something like, that was a great keynote you just gave. It made me think a lot. What are you going to do the rest of the time you're here? Do you need recommendations?
Yeah.
I live here. I know where to go. Like,
yeah.
Talk to them like a normal person.
Right. Because that's what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Tell me something good. I love how all I have to do is like raise my eyebrows and you know it's time for the song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something good.
Yeah.
So we have these like PVC pipes in our program. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have like different lengths and chunks and connectors and things like that.
Yeah.
And they do lots of things with them. But the most memorable thing that has ever happened is they stuck little mini flashlights inside them and made them lightsabers.
Oh, that is so cool.
Oh, it was awesome.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. That was something good.
That has
not happened since, because that group of kids that did that are gone and nobody, like, redid that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a similar.
Yeah.
That would have never been possible without reading maybe all of these books.
Oh, right.
Kristen witnessed this, and I'm still thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
A whole 24 weeks later. We had a big box that the kids had painted to be a rocket ship. And it kind of died. You know, the cardboard box only lasts so long and then
yeah,
it dies.
Yeah.
Can't really get upset about it.
It was all painted cute. I mean, the kids had painted it and stuff. Yeah,
they
yeah.
They decorated the inside. They drew, some kids drew windows. Other kids wanted to make it look pretty, so they decorated the inside.
Got it.
It fell apart, and then it turned into, can I rip it apart?
Yeah.
And then it turned into, can I rip it apart with my teeth?
Yeah.
Ooh, it looked so painful.
It did. And then, like, can you imagine, ooh, like, the tempera paint scraping on their teeth as yeah. they're pulling it apart? Ooh.
But they weren't using it to, like, you know how sometimes you rip tape with your teeth?
Right. Like, they the on like, the side, like, where you would bite onto it on the side teeth. They were, it was, like, full-on front
they
teeth.
They were, like, little chompers bitten out of
them. Yes. Like, bites.
But they felt so powerful.
They did.
And it wasn't hurting anyone. It no. was just gross to us.
Yeah.
And one other little girl was looking at him like, no way. Are uh-huh. you gross? Are you kidding me?
That was so funny.
Yeah.
That was really great.
Fun moment.
Empowering.
And not that I'm going to be like, hey, kids, let's rip this with our teeth every time.
Right.
Because it no! was also kind of weird.
It was.
But
I love it.
Power is good.
Well, Tiffany.
Well, Kristen.
It's been fun.
See you next time on Q&A.
With T and K. Bye.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.